Today on Tax Justice Warriors, I will be looking at the IRS Commissioner Charles Rettig's speaking engagements with the ABA Tax Section May meeting and some various other items of interest I would like to share with you. Thank you for tuning in.
Welcome to Tax Justice Warriors, the podcast that celebrates the work of low-income taxpayer clinics, focuses on tax controversy work, and looks at related issues in tax news. I am your host, William Schmidt, the director of the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic at Kansas Legal Services.
To begin with, this week, there is the 4th International Taxpayer Rights Conference. It is beginning on the day that I'm recording, Thursday, May 23rd, and continues Friday, May 24. So by the time this is posted, you will either already be there or the conference will have concluded. But I do want to highlight that this is one of the pet projects for National Taxpayer Advocate Nina Olson. The conference is taking place at the University of Minnesota Law School in Minneapolis, Minnesota. The conference theme is Taxpayer Rights in the Digital Age, Implications for Transparency, Certainty, and Privacy. For the 2 days, there is an international panel of experts discussing topics ranging from big data and automation to artificial intelligence and data mining, and how they impact the taxpayer. They will have panels on transparency and access to administrative guidance and different countries' approaches to whistleblowers. Now, there is quite a bit happening at the conference. I think it is a worthy effort that National Taxpayer Advocate Nina Olson has put together, trying to convene international tax revenue systems and various scholars from around the world, basically, to discuss issues and hopefully bring about some systemic change in the various tax organizations internationally. I would like to mention the people I know that Caleb Smith is a professor at University of Law School in Minneapolis, that he is the director of their low-income taxpayer clinic. One of the presenters is Leslie Book, who is one of the co-founders of the Procedurally Taxing Tax blog that I routinely write for. And there will also be two United States Tax Court judges, Judge Holmes and Judge Ashford, who will be part of the panelists during the 2 days. So if you are interested, I suggest you look up what the materials that were posted online, and if I receive any reports on what happened or have any follow-up interviews, I will share those with you. Now, next, I would like to turn to some transitions that are happening within the LITC world. These are some smaller scale transitions, but I wanted to pass on those items so that you could be aware of them. That Nikki McCain of University of South Dakota School of Law in Vermilion, South Dakota, will be moving to Florida to go into private practice with a law school friend. So transitioning away from there, that Nick Xanthopoulos will be going away from Mid-Minnesota Legal Aid in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And Daniel Kempland of Washington University's School of Law in St. Louis, Minnesota, has completed his LLM and will be going to IRS Small Business and Self-Employment Council in Seattle, Washington. I perhaps know Daniel Kempland the best because I've been working with him off and on since he is in St. Louis, Missouri, and I am in Kansas City, Kansas, roughly 4 hours away. So we have been working some on different Missouri-related items. So I have gone to St. Louis a couple times and able to do some presentations with him in person. And then Nikki McCain and Nick Xanthopoulos, I got to know both of them this last LITC conference. And so I would say that I count them among my friends in the LITC community. And so it is a bit sad for me to see them leaving, but I do wish them the best of luck. I know they are all passionate advocates for taxpayers and for fair treatment in the tax system. So I know that they will all do well in their next stages of their careers and do believe that they have done good work for taxpayers in the LITC community. So I salute all of them from Tax Justice Warriors, that I count them among our group, and just have to say CSED as a salute once again to Nikki McCain. Okay, from here I am going to turn to the presentations by IRS Commissioner Charles Rettig at the ABA Tax Section May Tax Meeting in Washington, D.C. The Thursday at noon for the Tax Bridge to Practice, there was what was termed a conversation with IRS Commissioner Charles Rettig. So there was a bit of an interview-style format, but IRS Commissioner Rettig also was joined by IRS Chief Counsel Michael Desmond. They have been working together for, I believe, decades. They are close personal friends and co-workers that Michael Desmond is in his position requested by Commissioner Rettig. So both of them were on the panel, and Michael Desmond was relating that it was a bit last minute that he was asked to be on the panel, that I think he had another presentation later on that day that he was trying to prepare for, and so he was asked to be last minute at this IRS conversation with Commissioner Rettig. I wound up running a little bit late to the interview conversation, but when I walked in, I was glad to hear that the commissioner was encouraging the various attendees at the Tax Bridge to practice, because it is geared to new attorneys, younger attorneys, starting their careers in tax law, that he was encouraging them to be volunteers, to give back, and part of that was to volunteer for low-income taxpayer clinics. And I think this is a theme that Commissioner Rettig has, and that comes up again in his plenary luncheon that I'll speak about. But he was also saying that he was encouraging the various young attorneys to spend time with family, friends, and others, not just to focus on work. Then in the interview, one of the questions was, what surprised you most about coming into the IRS from working outside in tax practice? And I believe it was Michael Desmond who gave the answer, but both of them agreed that it was acronyms that was really the most surprising, that there are so many acronyms within the IRS that it seems there is an acronym for everything. Then from that question, Commissioner Rettig was touching upon his family, that they are in the English as a second language sector, with his wife being from Vietnam and his parents no longer speaking English, speaking about them, and that his son is in the military. So he was saying at this point that that is one of the focuses that he would like to bring about, is helping out the underserved communities like the low-income taxpayer clinic, English as a second language, and military communities. One of his key goals is enforcement, both the civil and criminal levels. Michael Desmond said that he was glad to tour the Kansas City Service Center. Then they spoke about the campuses and the phone service, that IRS Commissioner Rettig was saying that one of the functions that the IRS phone services do is to speak with the families of deployed military, to speak to them, and they basically just need two dates, the date that they are deployed and I believe the date that they will return. And he was saying that he was proud that he got to listen in on one of those phone conversations, and that the IRS person took time to listen to the wife of the person who was deployed, who spoke about her husband being deployed and that she had their child, and so she's looking forward to her husband returning and seeing their child for the first time. And so IRS Commissioner Rettig was pleased that the IRS employee did not speed up the conversation and just say, okay, give me the two dates, that's all we need, but instead took the time to speak with the wife of the deployed military individual and let her take time, and was compassionate to her in giving her story and just bonding in that moment about what it means to have a family member that is deployed and in military service. So Commissioner Reddick wanted to pass on that this is another item, and it reminds me of the FEMA phone calls that the IRS phone service also takes, because FEMA does not have their own phone service for taking calls from people who have survived a disaster for those emergency management services, that the IRS is taking those phone calls, that it is not budgeted for anyone, but they take that on. Just a reminder to remind us that it may be frustrating for long wait times in speaking to an IRS person, but perhaps they have been speaking with someone who has a military service member who has been deployed, or speaking with someone who has survived a disaster, talking them through that, and then they are talking with us about tax issues. So just an ask for us to be more patient and compassionate to the IRS at these points. Another question asked of them is, what is their measure of success? And they said overall that it is customer satisfaction that they're looking for. They're looking to improve the methods, but definitely the results in what people are saying about customer satisfaction. And I put down a quote that they are not looking for a legacy as what they're looking to leave behind, that they're looking to improve that customer service, but they're not looking for a specific legacy as what they're leaving. Commissioner Reddick takes part in different employee items that he mentioned. Bring Your Child to Work Day, that he wants IRS employees to be saying not just I work for the government or I work for the Department of Treasury, but to say I work for the Internal Revenue Service. He said he would be leaving at that point to be assisting with an ice cream sundae social at the IRS, and he finished by saying that he was active within the American Bar Association section of taxation. So he was promoting careers in tax law and encouraging those who are in attendance to be active within the ABA tax section, their various committees, and attending the conferences that will help them within their careers and to be better tax attorneys. Now, I mentioned last episode that I saw Commissioner Reddick later that day at one of the receptions, but I was not able to speak with him personally. So he was there those two occasions on Thursday, and then Saturday again at noon for the plenary luncheon that he was their guest speaker. So he was saying that people get out of tax what they give back. So he was started by saying that the 50th anniversary of VITA, the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program, is this year, that the people side is phenomenal, that of people giving back within tax, he is proud of that. He is encouraging taxpayer compliance, that 1% of compliance is about $36 billion. So it is a major source of income for United States taxpayer confidence. And so taxpayer compliance is a key part of what is necessary at the IRS. Returning again to taxpayer service, he mentioned the VITA program, Volunteer Income Tax Assistance, tax court settlement days, where both low-income taxpayer clinics and various pro bono attorneys with the American Bar Association or other bar associations take time to assist unrepresented taxpayers in understanding their cases. And he also mentioned, again, the low-income taxpayer clinic program. That is another great way to volunteer and give back to the community. Within the IRS, he said that titles are less important than the people, that he eats lunch cafeteria daily at whichever campus he happens to be at. And in mentioning about titles, he mentioned the IRS cafeteria people by name, that he basically said he wants to treat them best of all, that he hinted that those are his favorites since they are providing his lunch on a regular basis, but basically saying that no one person is more important than another within the IRS. He listed several departments, but he said that they're looking for no top-to-bottom change, shoulder, that it will be from one direction to the other, sweeping in what they're looking at and seeing for improvements. That he said that there is one IRS, one mission, and many teams, that the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act team was Team of the Year, so he was proud that they were able to take care of the implementation and working on tax reform, that things moved so smoothly during the tax season. He said people worked hard and care moving forward, that is their goal, to move forward and get work done. Now, some numbers I wrote down, I believe this is processing, that he said, I think it is 130 million tax returns processed during the tax season. I'm not sure during what period that is, but saying 9 million an hour were coming in. They're working on modernizing their computers, that they've rolled out their modernization plan. So the comment period is open. Concerning National Taxpayer Advocate Nina Olson, that the Treasury Secretary appoints her replacement, that the press release has gone out about that, notifying people in their resume during that time to be considered for her position. Speaking again about languages within the IRS forms and publications, that they have various forms and instructions for six languages currently. He said that there is a need for every American to have forms and instructions in their own language. He gave a comment that he was working and living in Los Angeles, and there would be times that there are more than six languages spoken within the line at the grocery store, so there is a need for more IRS forms, publications, and notices to be going out in the languages of the taxpayer. He spoke about his family, that his wife and father are immigrants. His daughter is a veterinarian. His son, a captain in the U.S. Army, career military. In speaking about his son, that the quote, to always keep the sand beneath your toes, basically to understand where you are at and to keep focused in that way. So I believe at this point that he was speaking again about the need for looking at small business people, immigrants, low-income, English as a second language, and military as a focus to make sure that those communities are being served. Turning to the IRS employees themselves, that he was saying that they're not just IRS employees, they are IRS ambassadors in presenting what the IRS mission is to guide public opinion of the IRS. He spoke again of the FEMA calls and the deployed soldiers on the IRS phone centers. He admits that the customer service needs to be improved, that the taxpayers in the country deserve it. And he went through a list of items that need to be focuses going forward. So he went through offshore enforcement, the tax effects of the digital economy, transfer pricing, micro-captives, syndicated conservation easements, taxpayer and customer service, criminal investigation, employment tax, collection non-compliance, fraud referrals. Again, he was saying that he hopes employees will say they work for the Internal Revenue Service and not saying something else. His goal is for IRS employees to be respected, just like combat zone military, that there are goals, again, of customer service, and that he is passionate about voluntary compliance by United States citizens and taxpayers. I will mention that the American Bar Association has the entire plenary luncheon speech by IRS Commissioner Rettig available on their website, so I would encourage you to view that for yourself. But overall, I was struck by Commissioner Rettig's passion for focusing on the people within the IRS. He was noting that there are employees who have put in decades of service And so he knows that they are passionate about helping others, and he wants to get the word out and help people on receiving that customer service. He wants to support volunteerism, but he also has various initiatives such as civil and criminal enforcement. I've heard him talk 4 times at this point, and he has those various consistent messages. I believe he is doing great service as our IRS commissioner, and I hope that you support him. So I hope this was educational in learning about Commissioner Rettig. Please turn to his speeches online. I hope they will be instructive to you, and I believe that is the case. I'm glad for his support of the low-income taxpayer clinic community, and glad for his support of taxpayers throughout the United States. And I hope this helps you in your service, and I support what you do as well. Thank you for tuning in to Tax Justice Warriors.
Thank you for listening to Tax Justice Warriors. We have a Patreon page if you'd like to support this podcast. Providing monetary support for this podcast helps with expenses like equipment or travel to tax conferences. Supporting this podcast through Patreon comes with rewards, so check out our Patreon page. Please rate or review this podcast because positive reviews help get more people to know this podcast exists. The views expressed on this podcast are not official opinions of the IRS, the Low Income Taxpayer Clinic Program, or the employers of the people who spoke on this program. Your tax situation is unique, so do not take the statements on this program as tax or legal advice. Consult with your own tax professional to provide you with specific advice on your situation. Tune in next time on Tax Justice Warriors for another interesting tax discussion.